Greetings, this is Father Michael. Before we begin our show today, I'm excited to announce a new format for the show in terms of a series. We just recently had our five novices apply for and be approved for 2 years of vows beginning this coming September. Their vows take place at St. Albert's over in Oakland. Everyone's invited to that, and it'll be up September 1st, which is that traditional weekend that vows are made the first time around. Our novices, Brother Matthew, Brother Nathaniel, Brother Anthony, Brother Elias, and Brother John Peter, are excited to launch into this new stage of their own discernment, and as a way of both introducing them to folks in the parish. Of course, they've been here for this during this novice year, but of giving a kind of a glimpse into their own expectations and where they're at as they're making vows. I wanted to sit down with each one of them in turn. And so over the next few months before they make vows, I hope to be introducing each one of the brothers in a unique and personal way. This week, happy to sit down with Brother Matthew, who has experience at a diocesan seminary for the Dakotas. His family from Montana originally and now in the Dakotas, and has also experience in religious life before he comes to the Dominican. So a very interesting, wide-ranging story. He also will be teaching and is teaching a masterclass on spirituality. We're calling it our Friday Night Master Series, and his theme is Four Saintly Secrets to Spiritual Growth. So he's taking a look at the spirituality of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Catherine of Siena, even working in some of the Carmelites, St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and unpacking for us how it is that we can make real spiritual growth, how we can navigate a path to happiness and to holiness. This class meets on Friday in the morning at 9 a.m. and then in the evening at 7:30 p.m. And we had a first good class this last Friday, but the series continues. And even if you didn't happen to make the first meeting this last Friday, come in and jump on in. There's no requirement or prerequisite in that way. But Brother Matthew is with his extensive both theological study and reading and his own teaching. As we get into, he has the teaching experience, a fantastic teacher in every way. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many blessings as you enjoy our show. Welcome back to St. Dominic's Weekly. This week we're starting a new series of myself sitting down with our novices. All of our novices this year have been approved for vows, and so I'm sitting down with each kind of a one-on-one interview to get a little bit about them, hear about their vocation, and we'll start with Brother Matthew. Welcome, Brother Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
Very good. And maybe just start with your name. In terms of religious life, folks can take their baptismal name. Mm-hmm. They can take a religious name. For yourself, tell us a little bit about your patron, Matthew, and why you chose.
Sure. Yeah. My parents actually gave me the baptismal name Matthew,
yeah.
And my middle name is Ambrose.
Oh, nice.
So both of those are actually from baptism.
Yeah.
And Matthew means gift.
Yeah.
So for my life, I grew into the name without thinking about it because I was tiny.
Okay.
And I was actually in a religious order before where my name was changed.
Okay.
And so when I came into the Dominicans, I prayed about this specific issue. And I went to my novice master, Father Anthony, and I asked him, well, look, nothing's coming up in prayer.
Yeah.
So, and then I said, well, I guess that's a sign that I'm just called to keep my name.
Okay.
And I decided to do that.
Yeah,
I decided to just request Matthew.
Yeah,
and I was completely at peace about it, and it went smoothly, and here I am.
Nice. Oh, very good. So it's kind of the absence of any particular direction confirmed your own baptismal name.
Exactly.
And you mentioned being another religious order, and I want to get there, but maybe first of all, speaking of Father Anthony and places to be from, where are you from?
I'm from eastern Montana.
Okay, so that's the hills or the plains?
The plains, the steppe.
The big sky.
Exactly.
Exactly. Very good. And you have siblings, family?
I do. I'm second oldest of nine children.
Mm-hmm.
And of the nine, there are three which are moving towards religious life.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. So you've got yourself and then...
So myself, I have a brother who's in the seminary, actually. So he's, at the moment, working towards priesthood.
Okay.
I have a younger sister who's in convent just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. Which group is she with?
She's with the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus.
Oh, are they a newer
it's
order?
It's a very new order. It's only in that specific diocese.
Really?
And they have about 6 to 10 joining every year now.
And how big are, when did they, were they founded?
So they were founded maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So they're a totally new congregation.
Totally new.
What's their gravity or charism?
They're to be complements to the bishops, to
okay.
the priests.
Okay.
So whatever the bishop needs, they can adapt to that specific mission.
Really?
So typically at the moment, they're connected to larger parishes or cathedrals.
Okay.
And they teach catechetics. They do a lot of being, they're basically spiritual mothers. So whatever
really?
That means. So spiritual
nice.
Direction, like focus missionaries for a parish.
Nice.
That's that... where they're at the moment.
And the group is called again?
The Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus. They have a great website. You can check it out.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus. Just Google that. I'm not familiar with them yeah. either. And is there, what's their formation like? Sorry, I don't know if we're veering away from you, but this is interesting. Her formation would be what?
I don't honestly know what type of degrees they receive,
okay.
but it's at least 6 or 7 years
okay,
of formal classes in addition to a 2-year novitiate. So they are quite well educated.
Oh, nice. And there's some kind of formative experience that they have. Yeah.
True. So they currently live next to the cathedral in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Okay.
But they take a lot of courses at the seminary in St. Paul.
Nice.
So okay. they're studying with seminarians by and large.
Nice. And where does she fall in terms of the line of the family?
She is... Fourth.
Okay. Yeah. So it's you're the second oldest, you said?
Exactly.
And then your brother, a younger brother.
A younger brother just turned 21. He's studying to become a priest.
And in the diocese of?
Diocese of Bismarck. So that's Western North Dakota.
Okay.
It's a very dynamic place to study for the priesthood at the moment.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And how did he get connected? Was he living there at the time or?
Yes, that's right. That's
okay.
Right. So my parents at the moment, they live in Bismarck.
Oh, in Bismarck. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Wow. So what were family dinners like with that many people? Was it kind of like you got to elbow out to get fed?
You know, honestly, I must admit that a lot of my adult life mm-hmm. has been going back and forth.
Okay.
So it's rare that we were all together.
Oh, really?
Growing up, yeah.
What's the age range for?
So it's quite significant.
Okay.
I believe the age range would be maybe 22 or 23 years.
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah.
Between that. So yeah. and are you? So you're closer, obviously, with some of the siblings that surround you, or?
Yeah, I would say that's how it happened. Just okay. on account of the fact that I wasn't around to develop those relationships with the youngest.
Nice. And how would you, looking back on it, see kind of this large Catholic family?
Exactly. Yeah.
as sowing your seeds for vocation, like what kinds yeah. of things was present in your family that you might recommend to family life, if not having that many yeah. Siblings or children in a family, what kinds mm-hmm. of things did you do that do you think were formative for yourself in terms of vocation?
A couple different things. One, we were just continually faithful to Mass. We would pray together as well, the rosary in the evenings.
Mm, okay.
Those
as
things,
a family?
As a family.
Brilliant.
That's right. We'd come together. It was the family rosary.
Okay.
Plus, when I was much younger, even before we did much of that, my father would tuck us into bed at night
okay.
and he would always have us pray a Hail Mary, Our Father, and and pray the guardian angel prayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we became accustomed to praying when we were very young. And also too, I think there is something deep down in my parents that led them to develop a very healthy Catholic library.
Mm.
So I grew up with picture books of the saints. I grew up with a variety of spiritual topics that I could just pick from the shelf to read. I grew up at St. Teresa of Avila, for example. So by the time I left high school, even though I went through the public school system, I knew a lot about the Catholic saints and the tradition of the Catholic Church.
Nice. So those are two great great pieces of a recommendation in terms of just family prayer life, even if it is just mm-hmm. an Our Father, Hail Mary, especially with Dad, I think is I mean, certainly with the whole family, but mm-hmm. Dad being there and present, and then a Catholic library, like
yeah.
you said, building a Catholic
picture,
library.
Even when they're younger, have picture books all
yeah.
over the place. That's why I recommend. And then when
yeah.
they're older, have books that are going to challenge them.
Yeah.
And even if you just have those books around the house,
yeah.
you wouldn't be surprised how much that will form the individuals within your family over the years.
Yeah.
You read a bit here, a bit there. It really adds up.
I have to admit, too, now that you're mentioning it, I'm having images of different art that we'd have
yeah.
on the walls
yep.
and how I'm
yep.
drawn to different images of Jesus that were in the family home or different images of the Blessed mm-hmm. Virgin that just without even intending it are very formative and I feel very close to in that way.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
Exactly the same.
The same for you.
Yeah.
So how did you get from, so family growing up, where did the first, in Dominicanism, your first entry into religious life and priesthood, where did the first kind of manifest signs of priesthood and religious life look like for you?
Yeah, I have a fairly interesting route that began, I would say, once I was in college. I had a lot of friends who started to fall away from the faith, and I had to make a few decisions, and one of them was basically to start studying more of the questions that I had, because I knew I just couldn't walk away like my friends did when the way of life became more difficult, so to speak. And the more that I studied, the more that I actually grew in, to be hungry to study more. And instead of becoming a focus missionary, which is a great option at that time, I was actually attracted to the priesthood directly.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
The thoughts began to be formed in my mind. And over the course of about 6 months of beginning to go to daily mass on a regular basis, the thought of the priesthood never left my mind when I'd go to sleep at night. So I would go to sleep thinking about the priesthood, and I'd wake up thinking about the priesthood.
Wow. Was there something you were reading or a priest you'd met or something that was kind of nudging you towards that?
Yeah, I think it was all those things.
Okay.
There was a priest at the Newman Center where I was at that really inspired me. I started reading Fulton Sheen at that time.
Yeah.
That was kind of my level.
Yeah, yeah.
I started reading G.K. Chesterton,
sure.
C.S. Lewis, people that really started to turn my gears.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give myself to help to save as many people as possible in this lifetime.
Nice. And so where did it go from there? So you got this desire that's
exactly.
kind of awakening,
yeah.
and you're literally losing a little bit of sleep thinking about it.
Yep.
And so where did
For
it go
sure.
from there?
Yeah, I was actually embarrassed to tell my parents at the moment. But what's more important is the more I spoke about this desire to various priests, the more that I felt attracted to the diocesan clergy, because it seemed to be, where I was living, there are basically two options. If you want to be religious, you join the Benedictines.
Okay.
If you just want to be a priest, then you just join the diocese. You don't have active religious orders to choose from.
Yeah.
So the nearest Dominicans would be St. Louis or Denver.
Okay, yeah. It's almost like the early church, right? The early church, either you're a priest and you're in a diocese, or you're a contemplative Benedictine. So it's like the primitive church.
Right.
And so what kind of, where did you go from there?
So at the time, the priest pointed me to call up a specific vocation director from more or less where my parents were living, because I spent the latter high school years of my formation in actually the Diocese of Bismarck, where my brother is studying at the moment.
Okay.
So I applied with that diocese.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Really tremendous diocese.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you were accepted there?
I was accepted. I went through a number of different years studying philosophy in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, I was able to study at the Angelicum as well. So they had a study abroad program.
Nice.
So I went to the Angelicum and I took a course of spiritual theology with Father Paul Murray.
Oh, yes.
And I absolutely loved it.
Sure.
And I couldn't get enough of it. So I was enthralled with the Dominican charism about that time that really planted the seeds for it there.
Nice.
But at the same time, I felt a bit beholden to the diocese, because I had all my friends were other seminarians and younger priests.
You feel a responsibility.
I felt a bit of a responsibility, but I think at that time, at the moment, I was thinking perhaps it was a fraternal dimension that was holding me in, because the men that I was studying with were very much like myself.
Gotcha.
So I kept going, actually.
Yeah.
And my bishop eventually sent me down to St. Louis for graduate level studies. And that was when I had a Dominican teacher and external formator. And that's also a time when my desire started to shift, because I became much more intensely attracted to invest my time, devote all of my free time in prayer and study. And on the weekends, when all of us seminarians were getting sent out to the parishes, eventually what happened is my desires started to grow such that I looked forward to class Monday through Friday, whereas literally all the other 16 members of my class would put up with class Monday through Friday to get to the
weekend.
Yeah, so
exactly.
They could be at their parish. So I was reciprocated in my desires.
Gotcha.
So I started to ask questions about what's going on here.
Mm.
And my external formator thought, well, maybe I have a religious vocation at that time.
Gotcha.
Because I love praying in common, and I love studies, and I love prayer, and I love the mission. So he thought maybe I had a Dominican vocation, and he explicitly told me that.
Really, at the time?
At the time, he told me that, yeah. So I was, 24 years old?
Yeah.
Something like that. And so he started inviting me to Vespers in St. Louis with the Dominicans. But the challenge was my heart had a blockage toward the Central Province. I really wasn't attracted to that specific way that they were living, even though I really very much enjoyed being with my mentor.
Sure.
I think the other part of it was I wasn't very excited about living in St. Louis long term. So there were a couple different things going on. So that's when I started looking around to other religious orders, I didn't even know about the Western Dominicans at the time.
Okay.
For me, growing up, California is not the place that you look to for you Catholic <don't> say. Religious orders.
It's not.
So I didn't even look around.
It's not a hotbed of religious foment and flourishing.
No. The reputation just didn't get to me. It was the Eastern Province reputation that got to me.
Okay.
But not the West, yeah.
Oh, interesting. And so you looked at other religious life contexts, and what did you find there?
So eventually what I was attracted to, there was a younger religious order that was actually founded in France in 1975. Mm-hmm. They're called the Brothers of St. John. And they have a novitiate south of Chicago that I would eventually visit during all of my vacation time as a seminarian. And I became attracted to their prayer life. Mm. The prayer life and the personal life of study. Mm-hmm. So they were, at the time, I thought, well, these guys are like monastic Dominicans.
Yeah.
Where they're more separated from the world, but it's for the sake of contemplation. And they're still plugged into plugged into contemplating for the sake of handing on the gifts that have been given to them in contemplation. Yeah. And so they ran a lot of youth retreats. They gave classes on the three wisdoms, for example. Throughout their entire lives in their constitutions, they're to study Aristotle, St. Thomas Aquinas, and Sacred Scripture, so that all of your studies are oriented toward penetrating secret scripture more.
Yeah.
So everything's oriented towards the secrets of the Father.
Yeah.
So I was attracted to that.
Sure. And it almost like that Dominican principle of contemplating, given the fruits of contemplation,
yeah.
Right?
And their founder was a Dominican even.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So you could say they're like a cousin of the Dominican way of life. It's just lived out in a very more monastic context, you could say.
And so when you ended up entering that order.
So I ended up entering them, and I was in a class of two.
Okay. Which, if you're more monastic, I guess it doesn't matter as much how many you're in the class, because you're leading a more solitary monastic life.
Exactly. So we only had recreations twice a week.
Oh, wow.
And there was only 12 men living in a monastery, so we had plenty of time for prayer and study.
Nice. And the idea then is that it's more of a kind of, I would say solitary, but just your internal contemplative prayer, and then your active ministry are more connected, not necessarily the community is almost like the place you're living rather than kind of the fullness of like would be kind of the Dominican life of fraternity. Would that be right?
Yeah. They just emphasize different elements.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Because for them, for example, preaching wasn't primary either.
Okay.
Although the priests, they oftentimes are very good preachers.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in the core of how they expressed themselves in their constitutions or how they understood themselves either.
Sure.
So for them, I would say what emerges much more as central is adoration. So for them, silence in the house, even producing a silent environment is much more important than the actual giving of the message through preaching, through active preaching.
Gotcha.
So instead of going to the cities, like what St. Dominic did, they draw more from the Cistercian tradition. You'll find them in the villages, in the valleys, or on top of the mountains, this kind of thing.
Nice. And when did you kind of realize that you were maybe called to a little more the St. Dominic preaching in the city than being in the valley?
Yeah, that took me a long time, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of incredibly holy men around me that I really, really looked up to. Mm-hmm. And so the other element is that they're also very flexible. Mm. They're a younger order, so it seems as though you can go to multiple places in the world and you can find a lot of flexibility with respect to the opportunities.
Mm.
So, for example, they sent me to the Philippines for a year, and there they're just living outside of a gigantic city. So they're on a hill, but they're next to a city with 5 million people.
Okay.
So there are endless possibilities for apostolates there.
Yeah, for sure.
So in the end, I discovered that I enjoyed being in more of the urban context.
Okay.
For that reason as well. It was the same thing when I went to the Netherlands.
Okay.
We were planted inside the capital of the Netherlands in The Hague.
Nice. And you did a little pub ministry there, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. So
what does that look like?
Yeah, so there were six pubs just right outside our monastic, literally our monastery.
Really?
Yeah. And so my superior encouraged me on the weekends to spend extra time just being with the people on the streets in front of the pubs. Because in that country, you can actually drink on the streets as long as it's not midnight.
Okay.
So you get away from the music,
yeah,
and then you're able to have a long conversation with somebody just about pretty much anything.
And you enjoyed that ministry or that
yes,
opportunity?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, were there examples of how that ministry perhaps was emblematic of maybe discerning a Dominican vocation.
Yeah, very yeah. much so. Very much so.
Yeah, where just people. Did you find people just came up and talked to you, or did you have to? Do you have to initiate, or do they initiate, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both, depending on the evening. Okay. But oftentimes, what happened is, I would begin one conversation, for example, like at 7 p.m. on a Thursday.
Okay.
And then people would look around and notice that that we're laughing together. That I hopefully wasn't too scary. And then literally once one conversation ended, usually there was another person waiting just to come up and ask me a question.
Oh, really?
So, so there's one evening where I counted that happened 5 or 6 times.
Really? So people just queuing up to, to come talk to the brother with the stein in his hand.
Yeah. And I think another element was that our monastery also produced beer and we sold it in the pubs. So we were friends with all the bar owners, with all the pub owners, and they enjoyed our presence around as well. And that was an easy icebreaker because I could walk up to somebody and ask, hey, have you tried our beer?
Okay.
So that would open the door.
That would open the door for conversation. And talk a little bit about the transition then to Dominican life. What did that look like?
I would say there were some elements which were really easy and then other elements which were quite challenging because of this transition, even in the mentality of how to approach religious life. So a lot of the...
So give me an example of each, the ease and then and maybe the challenge.
The ease is I love studies. You don't need to convince me to study. I study whether or not you tell me.
You're all in.
You just give me free time, I study. That's what I do. Same with praying.
Yep.
Praying and studying, I do that by myself without having to be motivated for it. Yes. I don't need a tutor over my shoulder for these things. So those became very, very easy to slip into.
Yeah.
And I would say what was more difficult is giving up those things to be pushed in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean, I love teaching as well.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to be coaxed to get into teaching.
Yeah.
My experience up at Marian Catholic has been incredibly positive.
Yeah, just to say for folks that don't know, our novices have Monday ministry, and your ministry has been?
Yes, I teach. Well, I spent this last year teaching a variety of different courses up at Marian Catholic.
Nice.
So I taught moral theology with juniors. I taught biblical theology with freshmen. I taught fundamental theology with seniors.
Nice. And rave reviews for all of them.
Yes, I really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, nice. Very good. And so that was but you're putting that on the challenge side, or is that
east
side?
So
that's almost on the
east
side.
Yeah.
Okay, so challenge side.
So the challenge side, a lot of the communal demands of Dominican life, I was not used to at all.
Sure.
Because I went from more of a monastic model where the strong ones in your midst are those brothers who don't need breakfast, where they can go from prayer to study, where they can be in the silence for long periods of time without needing to emotionally have the human contact.
Gotcha.
Coming to the Dominican way of life is it's expected that you commit to these small fraternal gatherings. You open yourself up to fraternal encounters in such a way that it's supposed to be integrated to help you to preach better. So that was part of it is the amount of time spent with your brethren cracking jokes or speaking about whatever it is that's on your mind, for example, that was augmented considerably in this new way of life for me.
Yeah.
So I have to discover a new balance, and I'm still trying to discover that.
But that's something that I know you said is attractive to you, even if it is a challenge. Would that be right?
It's attractive to me, and it's also good for me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good for me because I need to grow in patience, that's for sure.
Well, yep.
But also, I need to be stretched in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my temperament would just have me go sit in a closet and read or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I need to grow in other areas, and this is one of those areas that I need to grow in. So slowly and surely, hopefully, I'll be able to more or less be spontaneous and be joyful just in being with my brothers and not thinking about this other project that I have back in my cell waiting for me.
If community life is an indication of my experience, you're good. There's lots of opportunities for patience and for spontaneity. And I just love the fact that you have that spirit. I mean, you obviously have had formative experience, religious life, diocesan life, being a little bit older than some of your other classmates, but still having the freshness of being able to have a self-awareness. And I know just knowing that there are aspects of your life that you want to be stretched. I think that's life-giving. It's a wonderful spirit. And hopefully that's the Dominican spirit at large. I think one of the attractive things to me when I met a Dominican was this is someone who was brilliant. He was on the Leonine Commission, which edits the St. Thomas text and all that.
Sure.
Well, he came to a freshman Bible class. He was studying the scripture, mm-hmm. and he was asking what I thought were basic questions, and he wasn't just doing it rhetorically. Mm-hmm. He was genuinely approaching the scripture with such a humility and almost like childlike, I wonder what I can discover more here. And I knew his background. I knew how obviously brilliant he was, mm-hmm. but for him to asking questions that seemed basic said to me, I want, when I get to be, you know, if I could be half as smart as he is at some point, I'd be excited about that. Mm-hmm. But to still have that same kind of wonder about, you know, the world and my own sense of where I need to grow and be stretched and to be open to that is I think hopefully a hallmark of Dominican life and community, and continue kind of to discover that in many ways. In terms of this year, mm-hmm. is there something that you've learned about yourself? I mean, maybe it's back to this community piece, that you kind of say you entered with one set of expectations, and now coming to the end of the year, you're like, wow, I see things a little bit differently, or I have a new appreciation for an aspect of
life. I do. Yeah. A couple different things. Yeah. One is I actually enjoy teaching more than I expected coming in. I say that more, I guess, more of a deepening of understanding how much I enjoy teaching.
Okay.
So I more firmly understand that now.
Yeah.
So that's one big thing. Secondarily, I'm learning how to be more relative to time constraints, mm-hmm. because in general, when I teach, I have way more that I would like to say and teach than I can possibly do so in the time that's given to me.
Oh yeah.
So I want to give the fire hose, but the people bring their buckets, their little tiny buckets. So that's the hard part.
It's speaking of which, and this is maybe a good time to introduce this, Brother Matthew will be teaching a master class on the saintly secrets of happiness and that sense of spiritual growth in our lives, and taking from Aquinas and Catherine of Siena. So it's 4 weeks, and just give us a little bit of that details and what you hope to. No doubt you'll bring the fire hose, but what can we reasonably expect to come with, even if we bring our buckets?
Yeah. So the next class will actually be on the treatise which Aquinas gives us specifically on prayer.
Okay.
So we're going to look at how we move toward contemplation, because heaven is just going to be one incredibly wonderful union with God at the level of the intellect and the will. So we're going to specifically dive into devotion and prayer. And we're going to take up questions, for example, of how long do we pray? How do we know when to stop praying if it's too long? We're going to look at questions of attention span, these kind of things.
Distractions and things like
that. Exactly. Yeah.
Impediments to prayer.
Yeah, kind of barriers, exactly. Obstacles. Barriers. How do you eliminate obstacles to contemplation? Yeah. This kind of thing.
Maybe I should come to this class. No, I will be. So, and this is Friday nights.
That's right.
And day two as well. Is that right? So it's in the morning and in the evening? There's two sessions?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
And then 7:30 at night.
Precisely.
And on it will be on the 25th, and then successive Fridays, everything's in the bulletin. You can look on the website too. I think we're featuring it as well. Well, what are you hoping that folks walk away at the end of the day? What do you hope it might be the overarching kind of goal if we come to the Brother Matthew Masterclass?
Yeah, a couple different things. One is a deeper appreciation for the order that St. Thomas gives us. In other words, a clearer notion of where we're headed in life and what perfection is going to, where that's going to take us.
Yeah.
Secondarily, I really hope to help people to receive a lucidity about how to grow faster. I want it to be a catalyst for growth,
nice.
A catalyst for charity, because we only have one life to live, so we might as well grow as fast as possible.
I love it. It's kind of an accelerant, a spiritual accelerant. I love it. Just stoking the flame. It's kind of like if Dominicans, I've heard preaching talk about, you know, a preacher is someone who is set on fire by the Lord, right? St. Dominic in the torch. And so this is, if you will, the accelerant to that fire. That hopefully this class gives it a little bit of a fanning the flame, if you will. So, well, Brother Matthew, it's been fantastic to have you to join us this week. We have every hope and desire that certainly the Lord continues to bless you and your vocation. The vows, your first vows that you'll be making, St. Albert's on September 1st. Everyone's certainly welcome to join the group. And as I said, we've got our classes on Friday, both morning and evening going forward. So may this week truly be, as we're coming fresh off the graces of Pentecost and the Spirit alive in our lives, may the Spirit truly come into your heart and radiate and may you radiate the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen.
Amen.